Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
I approached Marty about my plans of what I am moving forward with my life, and he said, and first thing he says, "You want to preach?" I was like, yeah, sure. So, here I am, and I'm super happy to be here. But before I jump in, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Holy Father God, I just want to thank you so much just for this church, God, and everyone here in here this morning that has sacrificed their Sunday mornings, God, to come in and learn more about you and just invite you into their hearts for the week and just serve you, God. Lord, I pray that this message is well sent and also well received, God, that if there's anyone out here who needs to hear this, that it just really hits their heart home, God. I want to thank you for this church and the opportunities it gives me and just all the kids in the back. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So real quick, I'm going to start off with some Bible verse, which should be up behind me. And we're going to be reading out of Ecclesiastes. Now, if anyone's read Ecclesiastes, it's a real depressing book of the Bible. We'll see when we start reading, but it's very depressing. Solomon, termed in the Bible as the wisest king, wrote it basically about what he realized life was. And he's basically talking about how he went through his whole life, he lived, whatever, and then he died. And he's like, what is it worth? So anyway, real quick, we'll jump in there. And it starts off with the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north, and around and around and around goes the wind. And on its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things, yet among those who come after. So like I said, it literally starts off saying, vanity of vanities, and it basically explaining that whatever you do, it's been done before. You're not going to do anything new. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, he says, we live, we strive, we chase this vanity, and then we die. And a cool thing, what I really like about it, is in the original text, in the original Hebrew, the word they use instead of vanity is hebel. And hebel is directly translates into vapor. And very specifically, like on a cold day, like this trash weather we've been having, you breathe out and you see that vapor. And then in the text, what he is saying is people spend their whole lives chasing after this vapor, trying to hold on to this vapor, and then they die. And so it's such a depressing book of the Bible. Basically just, your lives are useless. Why are we doing this? What's the point? That's the whole thing. But what I want to really focus on is that vapor mentality of why, you know, God put us on this earth for a reason, right? That's in the Bible. But why is this also in the Bible that our whole lives are spent striving after nothing just to die, right? What I want to really focus on is our time, because, regardless of what we're doing, all of us are chasing that vapor, you know, whether it be our jobs, their money, possessions, friends, places, whatever it is. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just that vapor that we're trying to hold on to. But how many of us hold on to our time? How many of us, that is the main thing we hold on to? Whether it's the past, our grudges, our hurts, you know, winning that high school football championship, and that's, you know, what we hold on to for the rest of our lives, whatever it may be, what are we holding on to? And I don't want to say this as like pointing fingers, because I used to be the exact same way. I'm going to get into this later, but YWAM has this thing, which is the organization I'll be with, where they'll just be like, hey, dude, I know it's Sunday morning, we didn't tell you this, but we need you to share your testimony, so I hope you have it prepared. And so I figured I'd get ahead of the game and kind of practice real quick, And I'll really pull a sneak on him. But I used to hold on to my past as a really big reason to be a just a nasty kid. I used to be a pretty horrible middle schooler and high schooler. So bear with me. I'm going to jump into my testimony real quick. So it's very similar, as all of you, you know. I was born a little chubby kid. But after about 10 months, me and my two sisters were taken by police from my birth mother and put into foster care for 2 years. For 2 years, we went between three houses, and we were, you know, as a kid, it's not very cool to be moving back and forth from house to house with no stability there. But literally, I think the week before my second birthday, and I don't quote me on the dates, but I don't think anyone's going to care, I was adopted. Me and my two sisters, Adrian and Jordan, which Adrian just had a nephew, by the way, yesterday. Had a son. Anyway, shout out. Okay. Yeah, so we were adopted by Randy and Perry Hutzel, which I know some of you know them too. And we finally were able to get that stable mentality, that, you know, the love of parents that are there for you, and, you know, they're actually, you know, they care about you, not just as, like, a holding place. And anyone who knew them, they were very good. They're not good Christians, because there's not a good Christian per se, but they're always going to church. They put us in Christian schools. We were always doing, like, Awanas or something throughout the week that was Bible-based, and always keeping us pointed at God, which is something I cannot be more thankful for. And life was good, like I said. So from between 2002 and 2010, everything just seemed picture perfect. In 2010, my adopted brother, so Randy and Perry's son, he committed suicide. I know anyone who's dealt with death in the family, they know it causes a rift that, you know, can either grow or be healed, but it definitely starts one. A year later, almost to the day, my grandpa died, which grandparents die, but for my dad, for any son, for their dad to die, it was a big deal. And that was very hard on him, and then that only continued to grow this rift that had begun in our family. And then in 2012, literally almost like exactly a year later again, at work, suddenly no warning whatsoever, my dad died. He was just, you know, collapsed and died at work. So that obviously was kind of like the final nail in the coffin. Our family was very divided. We were not a family anymore. We didn't talk. Perry, she was like in her room all the time for like days on end. And it just wasn't healthy at all. And so she decided to send me to a place in Boise, Idaho, called the Christian Children's Ranch, which is essentially a place for kids who either had nowhere else to go or their situation just, like, was not healthy. And so I was so mad. I remember she sent me up there, and I was, like, I was just really mad. Like, why would you send me away from my family, my friends? And I just remember being super mad about that. But it turned out to be the best thing for my life, because at the time, I mean, I wasn't like robbing and stealing cars and, you know, lifting rims off of cars or whatever, but I was not a good kid. Like, I didn't care about school, I didn't care about anybody else but myself, and this is where I really was like just a total butthead for my whole life, because my dad was dead, you know, which is horrible. I was holding on to that past. I lived there for 3 years in Boise, Idaho, and I got placed in an amazing church, and some of the most influential people in my life I met there, and they're still in my life to this day. So like I said, I started off so mad about that place, but looking back, like, it was the best thing. So when I finally moved back, I moved in with Perry, and I was there for like 1 month, maybe 2 months, and we had a bit of a falling out, and that's a whole other story. But the Snyders, as many of you know, opened up their house to me, and the Snyders had been like a second set of parents for me from like 2010, and especially after my parents died, they were always there for me. And I'm sure everyone here has someone in their life that was like a second set of parents that loved them. And that's what the Snyders were to me. And thankfully, they led me here to this church, so like, that's pretty cool. And so, yeah. And honestly, without the Snyders, I don't know what I would be doing right now. But I just thank God that I'm here now. And most of you know, from the last 2 years, I've been in this church, you know, whatever else. I went to a mission trip. Good stuff, good stuff. But what does all this have to do with the vanity of life? The vapor that we are striving to hold on to. Every single one of us has a story here. No one's story is worse. No one's story is better. Everyone's story is just simply that, their story. But, and like, I'm not pointing fingers because there'd be 16 pointed back at me. When you hold on to your past and you let the past control your future, and when you let the hurts control what you do, that's when it becomes, that's when you're striving. Your life becomes worthless almost because you're striving after something you can't change. What is the point with time already spent? You know, it's vapor. So moving on just a little bit, other than our past, you know, that people, me too, definitely hold on to, our present, the most valuable time ever given to us. The past, we can't change that. I mean, I know if we did raise hands, I bet you 99% of people would love to go back and just change their past. The future, we can't really, it's the future. That's a joke trying to change that. But what we do have is here and now. And we could get into this really like boring lecture about Einstein's time relativity and space and time, all that. But it's very interesting to me that the moment you have is the moment you have, and the very next moment, that last moment becomes your past, and you instantly move into your forward, into your future. So what does that mean? Let me just put it this way. There was a study done in a hospital of 100 elderly people. They were about to die. Kind of, I don't know why they're asking old people when they're about to die questions, but they did. And they asked them, they said, what is your biggest regret in your entire life? And I'm sure now if we asked everybody, they'd be like, oh, my biggest regret was not graduating high school, not going back to college, whatever it was. 98% of all these, so 98 out of these 100 adults, every single one of them said something along the lines of, they didn't regret what they did, they regretted what they didn't do with the time they were given. They didn't chase those risks. They didn't follow their dreams. They didn't, you know, whatever it was, that's what they regretted most. But in both situations, they're looking back into the past. They're looking into what they used to have and that they do not really have. So my question is, and how many people here, when they're talking to older people, not old people, okay? There's no such thing as old people. Older people hear phrases such as, in my glory days, or back in the good old days. What if collectively as a society, as a community, we decided we are living in our glory days? Because if you're looking into your past as your glory days, you're ignoring the time you have now. And if you're looking to your future as your only opportunity, can I get some water? My mouth is so dry right now. Thanks, buddy. If you're looking into your future, you're just wasting the time you have. So where is all this going? What is the point of all this? When you have your time, you have it now, you have your past, which you can't change, but what's the point of not holding on to it then? Are you just supposed to go through your life mindlessly doing whatever the world throws at you because you're trying to live the life? The Bible is very clear that everything we have, we give to God. You know, when you start giving your time, what you have, and your past to God, that's when He can do something with it. People used to tell me all the time, and this would frustrate me so bad, people would be like, hey man, you've had a hard life, but you've got a story, and you're going to use it. And at the time, like I said, I was still holding on to my past, and I was a rotten little kid. I would not say this, of course. I'd be like, thank you. In my head, I was like, I don't care. I hated my life. I did not care. I was like, I should just not have gone into this. I should not have gone through this. So I was just holding on to my time, and I was not progressing. I mean, obviously, once I, you know, really recommitted to God and was giving my life to God, I started letting go of that. But when I was able to sit down with a kid in Mexico, 16 years old, who felt like his life was not worth living because he was adopted and felt like he was not part of his family, and a conversation that brought both of us to tears and, you know, led him to recommit his life to Christ really showed me, you know, what the power of first giving your time and your past, your story to God, what it can do. Hold on, guys, I'm so thirsty. That really was a game changer for me, because whatever your story is, God can use it. Whatever it is, if you're holding on to it, it's useless. You're wasting that. So this leads me, ultimately, I did it so fast again, man. I speak so fast. I'm so sorry. This leads me to the last part of my sermon, and my present, and what my time that I'm given, what I plan to do with it. As Marty said, I'm going to the mission field, and I have been blessed with a huge opportunity to go back to Mexico, which some of you know is where the church built a house in 2017. At the end of that week, I was invited to go down and staff for them. The next summer, I applied and got accepted, and I got, on my last week there, they're like, hey, man, we'd love to have you back again. So, again, I applied, but I felt God was pushing me to do more. Like, it wasn't really all that he had for me right then. And after a lot of prayer and a lot of spending time in the Word, I felt God was leading me to do a DTS, which many of you know what a DTS is. That's what Nate has done. Samuel's doing one right now. It's a discipleship training school. It's you have a 3-month lecture phase followed by a 2-month outreach anywhere in the world where you have the opportunity to put into practice everything you've learned in that 3-month lecture phase. As amazing as it's going to be, and I'm super excited for it, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't a little bit nervous. Because, first of all, it's a whole different ball game. If anyone's been out of the country, you know right away that's a change. But when you're hands-on working with people that have lived lives that are nowhere comparable to yours, it changes things. The Bible illustrates God as a claymaker or a potter who is shaping clay, who is always, making his children into what he wants them to be. He's always reshaping and just sometimes really breaking us into what he wants us to be. And before I was completely accepted into this DTS, I had a good amount of money. I was looking good for my fees and what I would need to pay. And then I busted up my knee, I got super sick, and then my car broke, and all of my finances were just dropped. And I was I almost just stopped with all my plans, because as a lot of people know, DTSs are not cheap. The discipleship training schools are not cheap. It's obviously in two different countries. It's a big deal. And so I almost was ready to drop all my plans and just continue working and save up more money. And I just felt God was pushing me even harder at this point. You're doing this. It's time to do this. And I went through 3 days where I was not sleeping. I was so stressed out. I had no money. I was broke. And I was I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I guess I'm going. And that was the biggest time I've ever felt God as a potter, forcing me into this faith, into having, this faith for him, this connection where you give up what you don't have and what you do have to God. And so literally I to the day, I remember I was praying, and then I was going to work, and I was I felt so good. I was I'm not stressed at all. I'm just going to go. I'll be in Mexico for 3 months, and then the DTS starts. So that's the other thing, is I was cutting out 3 months of my time beforehand to be in Mexico before my DTS. So I was I was so stressed out. I was I can't even do this. This is no way. And I remember I went to work one day, and if any of you felt the Lord's peace, it's profound. There could be a million things going around you, and you don't care. You are living God, your life. And I remember I just was praying to God, and I was thank you, I'm going to trust in you. And I had a couple people give me large donations of money for this trip that really just kind of hit that first bump. It's kind of to make sure that there's no way I can't go financially right now. And it was the day that I was able to chill out and let God take control. But as much as those people, they were, I can't even express how thankful I am to them. But two people, I can't do this on two people's support. So I come to you today asking for two things. Prayer is definitely stronger than any dollar bill, any check, anything anyone could write. So I'm asking as a church, if you will partner with me in prayer for what I'm doing, what I'm about to see, and just what's happening in my life. But I can't pray to the people to let me just do it for free. So I just, if God's putting it on your heart to help out financially, if it's a dime, dude, I'll be just as happy. I mean, that's a lie. I'm human. But if God puts it on your heart to help me, I would be so thankful. But at the end of the day, prayer is still just as strong. And, you know, God says with the faith of a mustard seed, we can. Nobody? I heard someone, move a mountain. We can move a mountain. So I think that's all I got most of these. I just wanted to let you know what's going on in my life. I have amazing things coming up. And hopefully something I said affected somebody out there. And anyways, I think that's it. I'm going to pray real quick. And then I think Marty has something, right?
Yeah.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunities that you give to us every day, God, with not only just the opportunities, but every passing moment that you allow us on this earth, God. God, I just pray that as a church, God, that we will set aside our past to be used by you and allow our present, God, to be crafted and shaped and guided by you, Lord, that in our days, in our weeks, in our months to come, God, that we're not holding on to any of that vapor that will make our life useless. We're not striving after this wind, this mist that's not going to do anything for us, God, but that we're striving solely after your heart and solely after your plans and exactly what you would have us do, God. That, God, for anyone in this room right now that's got hurt in their heart, God, that is, you know, been through it, whatever it may be, God, that you just, God, comfort them. It's not easy to let go of hurts, God, and it's not easy to let go of what you've been through. But God, I just pray that you will put your hand of comfort around those people, God, and just show them your love, your forgiveness, and exactly what you would have for them, Lord. I want to thank you so much for just the opportunities you've brought me, God, and just everything that you've given me, God. I couldn't be here without a village, and that village wouldn't have been there without you, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.